watch, or the church has to be on the watch for people that do indeed drift. Because sometimes it means a lot to people. Maybe they haven't been here for some reason for the other, but it's awful good to have somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, man, I miss you. I'm so glad that you're here." And another thing with regard to that, now this is going to sound awful. You don't want to be smart alecky towards people. Especially people that are drifting, because that's just, you know what that'll do to them? It just makes them madder. And when you see someone drifting, that's, you just, "Hey, bud, I miss you. Love to see you come back." And you just seek to, you do it in a gentle and a kind way. And I've seen it done in a gentle and kind way, and I've seen people do it before, and I was like, man, I wouldn't want to come back if that's the way they treated me, if that's the way they're going to talk to me. But sometimes God's people need to be encouraged, and sometimes God's people do indeed drift, and they need someone to kind of help get them back where they need to be, okay? So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you signs of drifting, and I think I got probably about seven of them right here to give you, and we'll go ahead and start with number one, signs you're drifting. Number one, when someone drifts, one of the things that happens is they don't have no spiritual taste like they had before. And by that, I'm talking about a hunger for the things of God. You hunger to hear somebody sing. You're hungry to be in God's house. You're hungry to witness. You're hungry to worship the Lord. And you have it in your heart. And all God's people should be that way. Just not a few, but all of God's people should have a taste for spiritual things. Now, one of the main signs of drifting is when Christian people lose their taste for it. They lose their spirit. That's what I always called it. They lose their spiritual taste. And the bad thing about it, when they drift that way, if they continue to go in that rut, then it'll get to where it won't bother them at all either. You see what I'm trying? It'll get to where it will not bother. It won't bother them at all. You would think it would, but over time, if it continues, that spiritual taste will just kind of go away. And it's a sad thing. And it happens. It can happen to the best of people. And nobody is exempt from it. You got to be real careful with regard to this. So sign number one of drifting is you don't have that spiritual taste for spiritual things like you had before. That's the first one that I wanted to give you. You should have a desire to hear God's word. Aren't you glad you're able to come in tonight, and especially with the way things are now, that the church is still open and the Bible teaching is being taught, and we got young people here tonight. All that's a blessing. All that's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. And we should be thankful for that. And so we have a taste for spiritual things. I'd like to hear His word. Psalms 122 and verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. And that's, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. Love to see you and love to worship with you. When someone drifts, that taste for spiritual things drifts. And they're not like they was before. And the only thing that can get that back is for a person to repent. Say, "Lord, I'm sure that different times, different people does so. Lord, I've drifted. I'm not where I should be." And usually the person that does it, and now a lot of times people will use, what people will do is they'll just use an excuse. But most people can look through excuses, don't you think? Most people just look right through it. But the main thing is that once you've trusted Christ and He gives you that spiritual taste, and it just is a wonderful thing to worship, to come to God's house, all of these things is important. First sign of drifting is no spiritual taste. Everybody got the first one? Let's go ahead and get the second one. The second one is no conviction over sin. Hey, I can remember times in my life where I've drifted, and I never had no conviction over my sin. Didn't bother me. And I always call that being desensitized. If you keep wounding your inner man, if you keep doing that, then after a while, sin don't bother you no more. You come desensitized to it. Don't bother you a bit. Now, in the beginning, if you're close to Jesus, and you'll find out when you start feeling the drift, you'll realize that there's something wrong. And it bothers you, especially in the beginning. But if you continue to violate your conscience, you'll get to the point that it won't bother you at all. How'd I know? I've been pastoring for 40 years. It'll get to the point that it just doesn't bother them at all. So sign number one, no spiritual taste. They losing their taste for spiritual things. Don't read your Bible. Don't study. Don't seek to witness. None of these kind of spiritual things. It goes out the window. Okay? Number two, no conviction over sin. Sin will get to the point that it doesn't bother you like it used to. When you're close to Jesus, you have a tender conscience, and it bothers you. But when you drift, and there's no conviction, and it doesn't bother you anymore, there's just something ain't right there. And it's a dangerous place to be. And that's nothing really but drifting. That's what I've always, people will drift, and they become worldly. Things that used to bother you don't bother you no more. You get to the point that I really don't care, and that's not a good place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. Beloved, I believe that the Lord will take His children to the woodshed. I really believe that's part of the way that God keeps you, is He'll take you to the woodshed. And that's about the only way I know to call it, because that's basically what it is. Now, He'll give you a whipping. Now, there's different ways that He does it, but I'm going to tell you something about my Lord. I know I've told you this before. I want you to know, I'm afraid of Him. I'm afraid of Him. I really am. And you should be too. You might have heard me say this before in the pulpit. Someone does something, I'd say, man, I'd be afraid to say that. I'd be afraid to do that. Because I have a fear of God. Man, I know what God can do, buddy. He'll get your attention real fast. And that's a fearful thing when the Lord is dealing with somebody's heart that drifts. Can it happen to anybody? Let me ask you a question. Yeah, it can. Can happen to anybody. And what we do, we seek to win them back. That's what we do. And we do it in a nice way. I've seen people try to help other people, and I thought, man, if they was talking to me like that, that'd make me so mad I wouldn't want nothing to do with them. Really? You got to win people over. You got to win them over, but you need to win them over in a good way. And they'll listen to you, and you seek to win them back in a good way. And that happens. But, beloved, we're flesh and bone, and we can drift into things. But God, He's our keeper, and one of the ways He keeps us is He also will bring correction. He'll bring what? He'll bring correction. Now, I told you at the beginning of the message, I fear Him. I do. I fear Him. I fear His corrective hand. Just like we did our parents. We were afraid of our parents. And, Mom would whip me with a switch and Dad would use a belt. I'd much rather be whipped by Dad than my mom. But if she'd take that switch off and beat me from one end of the yard, you could hear me screaming all over Poker River down there whenever they would give you a whipping. But why would they do it? They did it because they love you. So, signs of drifting, number one, is no spiritual taste. Number two is no conviction, no conviction over sin. And when it gets to where it just kind of gets desensitized and it doesn't bother you anymore, that's a sure sign that you're drifting into a bad way. Turn to Matthew 24. Let me give you this. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and let's look down at the verse 12. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 12. Now, this is a text that I've preached from it in the past. But here, it's talking about people that drift in this text also. Matthew 24, and let's notice what it says. It says in verse 11, Matthew 24, verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise, many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many." Now, here's the one I'm after in verse 12. "And because iniquity shall abound," everybody see, what is iniquity? Iniquity, sin. Just another word for sin. And it says, "Because iniquity shall abound," what to say about God's people in verse 12? "The love of many shall wax cold." You see what it means? The love of many shall wax cold. And what that is, sin gets to the point in their life, it just don't bother them. It just don't bother them, and that's a dangerous place to be. And the Lord won't let you lay there very long. He'll straighten you out with regard to it. Like I've told you before, I'm afraid of Him. So it's important. It's important that God's people be faithful. No spiritual taste, no conviction over sin, and no faithfulness in, this is the third one, no faithfulness in church attendance. Well, all God's people, it's important that God's people be in His house, and that keeps you close. Y'all understand it? It keeps you close. It keeps you close. And when you drift away from it, there's always a convenient excuse to cover it. Okay? So that's the first three. Let's go ahead and move to number four. Okay? So, signs you're drifting. No spiritual taste, no conviction over sin, no faithfulness in church attendance goes out the window. Will always be a convenient excuse to use. That's why it ain't. Now, number four. No quiet times with the Master. This is number four. No quiet times with the Master. Oh, love. First thing I do is when I get up in the morning and I spend time with the Master. I'll do my devotion and I don't run in there and start trying to get sermons. You know, if you do that, what'll happen? You'll dry up. You'll dry completely up. So the first thing you do is you worship. And that worship opens all of that up. That worship is actually what opens all of that up. You spend time with Him. And here's just some things that you know. No quiet times with the master is the fourth one. And it means when you have quiet times with the master, one thing you do is you cast your cares on him. Isn't it wonderful that you can take your cares and cast them? I mean, sometimes we get in real difficult times, and when we get that way and the cares start building up on you, what do? You cast your cares. You give your cares to him. He can handle it. He'll give you the strength to hold up. And he does, and he will. But if you carry the care, what will it do? It'll drive you right in the ground now, I tell you. It'll take all your joy away. You won't be happy. Your worship won't be what it should be. Your private worship won't be what it should be. So you need to take your cares. These quiet times is when you take your cares and you cast them on him. And you give your burdens to him. When something bothers you, what do you do with it? Carry it or do you cast it? You cast it. You cast your cares upon him. Okay? So, number three. No quiet times with the master. Cast your cares. Give him your burdens. Pray for the sick. And then number four, pray for the lost. All that goes under point D. So you got to have those times that you spend with Jesus. You have to do that. Reading your Bible, praying, witnessing to people that you know that is lost. All of that is part of having times with the Lord. Good times with the Lord. Okay? All right, let's move down to the next. Remember, the title of this is Signs You Are What? Drifting. What's the first sign? You lose your spiritual taste. Number two, you don't have your conviction over sin is not what it was. You can do things. When you drift, you get to where sin don't bother you at all. It's just the truth. Number three, no faithfulness in church attendance. That's number three. Number four, no quiet times with the master. You need those quiet times with the Lord where you can sit and worship and cast your cares and cast your burdens upon him. So important you have those quiet times with the Lord. That builds you up. All right, I just got three more. No zeal to reach the lost. No zeal to reach the lost. That's the fifth one, I believe it is. No zeal to reach the lost. A fire for it. That's what zeal means. Zeal is a fire that burns in you to win people to the Lord. Got to have a zeal for it. Sometimes what happens is people lose their fire. They don't got their fire anymore. And basically what they do, they just show up. And they really don't have no fire for Jesus. And all God's people should have that. A zeal to reach the lost. Now, beloved, we all have lost people in our families. Does everybody here tonight have lost people? If you got them, raise your right hand. Man, we the Lord seen fit to give us the gospel. And we should share that with people. We should share that with people. Or give them something to read at the very least. That's why the tracks are in the back. That's why we have a radio broadcast, so people could listen to it there. We also got sermons you can listen to online. You do everything you can. You do everything you can to reach lost people. When a church dries up and they lose vision of the salvation of the sinner, that's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. So all of us should have a zeal towards lost people. That's who do we seek to reach? Well, you seek to reach your coworkers. Stewie was a coworker of I pretty much carried him. But he was a co-worker. And there's other people that where you work on jobs and you get to witness to them and things. But it's a zeal for winning souls. A zeal for winning souls. A zeal for winning people that are lost. Okay? All right. Now, this is point G. I don't remember what number that is, so I'm just going to go ahead and roll with it. No desire to be with God's people. No desire to be with God's people. Remember the message, signs you're drifting. This is what it's called, signs for drifting. And when someone drifts, they don't have no desire to be with God's people. And it'll show itself. It always does. It always will show itself. No desire to be with God's people. When I wasn't right with the Lord, I didn't want to be around God's people. I just didn't want to be around them. No, no. But when I became right with the Lord, I wanted to be with God's people. They ended up being my best friends, you know. They loved you and watched after you. So the next part of sign of drifting is when you don't have no desire to be with God's people. Beloved, I love to be with y'all. I do. Yeah, I love this church, and of course the church is the people anyhow. And the Lord's give us a good church here. It's been here since 1898. And it's a wonderful thing to have. And it's a blessed thing to have. And it needs to continue to be here, I think, don't you? Needs to continue to be here. So you have a desire to be with God's people. When I wasn't right with the Lord, I didn't. When I wasn't right with the Lord, I didn't. It didn't bother me. Things, if I missed church, it didn't bother me at all. And if I could get out of church, that's exactly what I did, if I could. Now, my mom wouldn't let me. If Dad always worked out of town, but my, oh my. My mom was something else, buddy. She could take a shoe at 100 paces and hit you right in the ankle with it. Yeah, she, whatever she could get a hold of to beat me with, that's what was so bad about Mom. Dad always just used the belt. Mom would use a rock or brick or whatever it had to be to bring me down, and she did. And she, buddy, she wanted me to come up how? She wanted me to come upright. And for a good long time, she was the one that had to watch after me. And that was about the worst job in the world for her to do, but she took care of it. I've told you this before in the past. Mom had a little brown car. It embarrassed me to death. Boy, I really thought I was tough, you know. You know, when you're in junior high or ninth, 10th grade of high school, boy, you really thought you was something, boy. And what Mom would do is, buddy, if she didn't know where I was at, if she never knew where I was at, I'd see that brown car coming over behind the school polka. And here, you know, you're about 16 years old. You think you're a man, and here come Mom. And all them old boys would be over there, and they'd go, Jeff, your mommy's out here. It made me so mad. Embarrassed me to death. But she wanted to know where I was at. I thought that was a wonderful thing. She wanted me to come up how. She wanted me to know Jesus. She wanted me to be where I was supposed to be. And I'll never forget her for that. She surely did. Okay? So, when you're born again, you have a desire to be with God's people. I love God's people. Now, if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, if you don't like them when you're here, what are you going to do when we all get to heaven? What are we going to do when we all get to heaven? So there's a desire to be with God's people. You must have that. Last of all, if you get away, let me give you all the things: no spiritual taste, no conviction over sin, no faithfulness in church attendance. Number four: no quiet times with the Master. No zeal to reach the lost. No desire to be with God's people. And when you get to the point right there of everything that I've gave you just this in this meeting, you're in bad shape when you get in that way. That's a bad place to be. Because what will happen, you'll start picking back up those bad habits that you had before. You'll pick them right back up. You'll pick them right back up. So it's important for all of us, really, to watch one another. You can tell when people are drifting. Now, I'm going to give you a warning here. Let me give you this warning at last. When you're dealing with somebody that has drifted or is drifting, boy, I hate to say this, how I'm going to say it. Don't be a smart aleck. I've seen that happen too. That just makes the person not ever want to come back. You see what I mean? Don't be a smart aleck. That includes all of us. Because sometimes we can get that way. And that just makes the person just that much more alienated from us. All God's people say it. I hope the Lord blessed you this evening. Remember the title of the message, Signs You Are Drifting. Sometimes the Lord not only gives you opportunities to witness, but He also will put people in your way that's drifted. And sometimes it's just a good thing. Just, hey, mission, I love you. Anything I can do to help you, I will. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening.